Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. We are your hosts.
Jessica.
And I am Chris Eaton. Oh, yes. It has been a minute, has it not, Jessica?
Yes, it has. Yes. We have been so busy.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So, do apologize. I have gotten some episodes out in the last few months, but life, as Ian Malcolm says, finds a way. And, well, that's kind of something we're going to, at the opening of the show, we're going to talk about, because Jessica and I were very busy this past holiday season. We were globetrotting, if you will, were we not, Jessica?
Yes, yes. I mean, we're a globetrot, I guess, to one globe, one part of the world.
You did a little more than I did, but I think I beat you just on time away. I think,
yes, you were gone longer than I was.
Yeah. So if you paid attention to some of the other episodes I put out, I was in Japan for a whole freaking month. That was 33 days, actually. So I was out there for Godzilla Day and then decided, well, I'm going to go explore the rest of this country. And I think in 12 days, I spanned the distance from San Diego to Portland, Oregon, all thanks to the Shinkansen, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that on foot or by car. Yeah, it turns out, like, when you base out of places, yeah, the Shinkansen can get you to some day trips a long, long way away. So, yeah, I was in Tokyo for the first, I think, 14 days, 15 days. And then for about a week and a half, I was in Osaka. So shout out to Larry and Kazuki because they showed me around and we had a good time down there. Hit Fukuoka. Shout out to Frank who showed me around down there. Got me around because turns out Fukuoka, very different city than going to Osaka or Tokyo. Like, you need a car out there.
Yeah.
That's that. If I wanted to see the Godzilla Scarecrow, it was on Chikuzen, I believe it is. And
yeah,
in my head, I'm like, I'll find a way. No, if I didn't have a car, I would have been screwed. So Frank helped out with that. Got to see Kobe. Beautiful city. Went to the Godzilla Island in Awaji. Saw all that. Went to the Tsuburaya Museum up in Fukushima. So, yes, it was a lot. To the point, I think our mutual friend Arian came out for the last leg of the trip. And we were having dinner, like, last night. And he's like, so do you think you've had enough Godzilla for a while? I'm like, yeah, I think I'm kind of Godzilla'd out. I've done so much Godzilla stuff this month that I'm like, it's that thing like when you're a kid, like I can eat pizza every day. And then you realize after about 2 weeks, you're like, I'm kind of sick of pizza. You know, I'll never give up my love of pizza, but like I need a break. Like I need something different. I need something else in me. So, yeah, I think I did just about every conceivable Godzilla thing that I could do out there. On top of seeing the rest of the country, which is absolutely gorgeous. So I would recommend anybody that's going to Japan, go, you know, take the train. Go to Osaka. Go to Kyoto. There's a lot more than Tokyo. Tokyo is beautiful, but there's a lot more to that country. Like Fukushima, gorgeous. And very much reminded me of the Midwest, of which where I'm at right now, because that's the other thing. I have moved out of the state of California. I'm now in Texas. So that has put a kind of a damper on getting some episodes out, but I'm now settled in and we are now doing this. But Jessica, while I was in Japan, where were you?
I was in Lucca, Italy for Lucca Comic and Games, which is the second largest comics convention and like games and pop culture convention in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wonderful. And then, however, it's a smaller like town. It's a walled city.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw the photo, I was like, this is Attack on Titan situation. Like, may it not end the same way, but I don't want to be attacked. But it's a walled city and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But since I was already there, then I also went to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I also went to the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Mm-hmm.
But I also went to Rome. Everything was under construction at the time. Like, You can still see the Colosseum. The
but there's Pantheon a tarp.
Was, yeah, there's like, oh, there's a great photo stuff, actually. Right? It was, there was a picture of the Colosseum that captured everything Rome was. It was the Colosseum next to a crane. And next to the crane was a horse-drawn buggy next to 15 tourists, eight policemen, like two different types of security policemen there, a bus, Italian taxi, and a man kind of just eating a pizza on the street, and then like a chestnut roaster on the street. It was against an ancient Colosseum.
Yeah.
There was everything was going on. And the reason why they had construction was because all the major sites were having, so the Fountain of Trevi was kind of constructioned off, and it was like an empty dry pond fountain situation. The Pantheon, you only saw the front of, because the front, the obelisk in the actual front is also walled by construction, because this year's the Jubilee.
Oh, okay.
Of the Catholic Church and everything. So they're getting everything a facelift so people could see it this year and have it be beautiful. I also went to the Vatican City. That was real. It was beautiful. I did get to see the, you know, Michelangelo and touching fingies. Or I guess like that.
Yeah.
I did get to see it. I recommend anyone who's going, please bring binoculars. To like look through it. It's a lot smaller and farther than you think, because it's like right above you, but it's multiple panels and scenes of the creation of Genesis, obviously the middle where they touch fingers creating Adam is the most important famous one, but because it's so tall and it's multiple murals, bring binoculars so you can like look through it and see it. Yeah.
It reminds me, as a kid, we took a road trip to South Dakota and we stopped to see Mount Rushmore.
Was it Mount Rushmore?
Yeah. So we stopped expecting, man, there it is. And then you get there and you're like, oh, it's way up there. And it's much smaller in person because of first perspective and everything. So it was like, ah.
Yes.
Well, here's a quarter. Look into this, you know. This essentially a giant like speak and see and say kind of thing, but
I had a flashback to that. I had a flashback to my own Mount Rushmore trip, where I came out of the tour bus and my dad was next to me and he goes, "Look, the four great presidents of America," and I was like, "Where?" And he was like, "Right there," and I'm already small, and I'm already got like terrible eyes, like with my glasses. And stuff. And so I'm like squinting and I see the heads, but I was expecting the postcards, like everything that you saw growing up in your school. And I was like, they're so small. My dad's like, it's on the top of a mountain. He goes, what? He's like, do you want to climb up there? It'll look bigger. And I was like, no. So what he did was he just lifted me like Simba style. and it did nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Just lifted me 4 feet from the ground. But I remember feeling disappointed because as a child you didn't know better. You know, that didn't happen with the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
But it happened
grand.
With that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I was in Italy while you were in Japan. Then you came back. I was already back in the States. And then I left again to then go to Japan.
Yes. Like two ships passing in the night.
We were two ships passing in the night. We were both working for different reasons when I was at Luca and you were over in Japan. And then what was it? Oh, yes. I was there for Comic Cat.
Yeah.
Which is the world's largest comic convention in terms of people. So in terms of population, the rough estimate is Comic Cat in Tokyo, Japan, Angoulême in Angoulême, France. Luca Comic and Games, and then like San Diego Comic Con, right? Like those are kind of, and there's a few other large ones. There's one in large ones like in Portugal and Spain as well, because the Europeans are very embracing in their comics culture. But I went to Comic Cat. Clearly, I survived, but it was an experience. I did enjoy my experience a lot because I read up on like what to do and what to expect. I really did enjoy it, and I got some very interesting stuff. Anybody who's going, I mean, Chris already, I think Chris knows this, and our other friend Kevin, he knows this. It is, they are categories, like they're sections, but like it's like 33-35% for like doujin comics. It's of adult nature, and some of them are not censored, so they're just there. They're just
out on the table.
out on the table. Out on the table. So just like prepare. Like I'm fine with it. But there were definitely a couple people that were like, oh, that was unexpected and in my face. Because some people, like in Anime Expo here in LA, they have a section that's 18 and over. So you kind of go through, they check your ID.
It's you a little get curtain. The risk. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a section. It's just there in that particular area as you're walking by. And what's interesting is there's all these different times that you can get in, like there's a lottery system to get in extra early, then there's like the morning and then the afternoon. But the fact that every day, every circle or like artist alley area is different people. So who you see on Sunday is not who you're going to see on Monday. But yeah, it was, it was, if San Diego Comic-Con kind of prepped us for this. Yeah, it did not prep me for Luca, but it prepped me for Comic Cats, I would say.
Well,
but
Luca's also different.
The culture. Culture is different. And the, and the, it was, Comic Cat was indoors. Luca is outdoors with some of their things.
When you described that, that was just wild to me. Like, they just essentially take over the whole town.
Yes, like that map I showed you.
Yeah.
My panels was in an ancient Catholic church. So
that blows my mind. That absolutely blows my mind.
Jesus was behind me. It was. Jesus was behind me.
Literally.
Yes.
Just going like, okay, so we're talking about Bob Kane here. Like, what are we doing? Like, just Jesus going on. It's like, Batman. Yes.
It was, it was a whole thing. And then we came back, you know, like Chris was already back. And then I came back into the New Year's, and then LA was on fire.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And that killed 3 weeks of our lives.
That it did. Cause I think we had plotted to do this before I left. Because I had a hard out at the end of the month, and then yes, everything caught on fire. And as we're all watching the Palisades go up in flames, you know, because we had insane winds. Like, we get the Santa Ana winds out there in LA. They come off the mountains and it gets to like 70, 80 miles an hour. I'm literally talking with you guys because where you guys were, there was another fire that started. So I was checking in, like, are you guys cool?
Yes, yes.
Because you're in the Burbank area-ish. And then I get an alert of another fire in Altadena. And you're in Pasadena.
Yeah.
So those, they're right next to each other for those who don't know the area. Altadena is essentially like a micro suburb of Pasadena. Very, very old town. It's a beautiful, I hate to say it was a beautiful city. That's where I was like, oh, shoot. And then I happened to see the name of the fire. And I, you know, at the time it had just started. I'm like, I am not responsible for this. It's called the Eaton Fire. And I had everyone and their brother like text me. They're like, hey, you're famous now. I'm like, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. My name is now on one of the most destructive fires in California history. Just as I'm about ready to leave the state. Yes. This is the, the icing on the cake.
It was. And we had at one point 4 or 5 fires going around. So my friend's house in Burbank, Sam, is like getting choked. You see like the noose tie, meaning the only way for him to escape was the five. Then it was this whole thing. I ended up evacuating anyways because our place and even my mother's place, she's in a city, we had wind damage.
Yeah.
So it came right around the time of the fire. So there's wind damage. Like there was a tree that literally went and then chopped an apartment building in half. Mm-hmm. So it was, and then there was a blackout and everything. I was, and the ash and the air was really bad. So I needed to get out of there.
Yeah.
It was like, I need to GTFO. So
yeah, I drove, got out. I drove to LAX the morning after the Palisades fire had started. And as I was pulling into LAX, it looked like the Dust Bowl because you just saw just this wall of black. Because where LAX is, the Palisades are north of it. So you can see the hillside and everything coming off the 105 freeway for, you know, if you're not in the area. And it was just this wall black. And then all the smoke was coming in. And then the next day I was back in the area. And then you can see the fire from Pasadena melding with this. It was just this dark wall, like this dark ceiling just hanging over everything. Yeah. So yeah, it was a crazy couple of weeks. Like literally, as I left, that's when they knocked everything out. I roll in here, and 2 days ago, I got to experience my first Texas tornado alert. I woke up at 4 a.m. I knew like that. You know, I'm a little bit of a weather nut, so Jessica knows this. I have a weird fascination with natural disasters and. You know, seeing a tornado is on my bucket list. I've gone through enough fires and earthquakes. Tornadoes is the next one I need to see. So I woke up at 4 in the morning. Where I'm at, I have a balcony. And I'm in the city of Arlington. So I'm in between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I'm watching. I get on my phone because I'm like, what is that sound? And there's a water treatment plant across from me. And like, there's a wood and there's some woods. And then I thought it was the water treatment plant, and I go out to my balcony, and it had just stopped raining for a minute, and I'm like, that is not the water treatment plant. Those are tornado sirens. I've never heard tornado sirens. I've been out in Texas about a half dozen times, and I've been out here when a tornado touched down, but the sirens never went off. And so I've seen some of the crazy weather, but people, you know, have always said, like, no, it gets wilder. So I'm standing on my balcony and I pull out my phone because I see, you know, the storm's coming in. It's coming in from the west and it's kind of moving in a northeastern section. And I'm looking at, I'm in between my phone. I'm checking like my radar and everything. I'm like, ooh, this is coming right over us. So I go back to filming. And mind you, I'm in just my shorts. I'm standing on my balcony. It's 4:30 in the morning. People are going to work. There's just this big fat guy standing on his balcony overlooking, like just filming with his phone camera, like the clouds incoming. And I'm standing there watching it. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting color. Oh, that's another interesting color. Oh, that's not lightning. Those are those are transformers going out. That's not a good sign. Rule of thumb with tornadoes. If they're not moving left to right, you go either find shelter or get the hell out of the way because that means they're coming at you. And I just saw just this incoming cloud, like just this darkness, and the transformer flashes start getting more and more. And I'm like, ooh, this isn't good. And it just started pouring and the wind picked up something insane. Oh. I ran downstairs. The sirens went back off. I woke up my buddy. I'm like, hey, it's getting a little nutty outside. He's like, he walks out. So it's 4:40. So we both step outside. It is pouring. The winds are hitting about 65 miles an hour. Like, it's just insane. We're watching the power come in and out. The streetlights outside of us are just going out. Then we finally lose power. So he's like, well, go get that mattress pad you have upstairs. And he's got a little crawl space under his stairs. He's like, I'm going to hang out there until this passes. I'm like, I'm going to be outside watching this like a jackass. And then it got a little hairy. I'm like, all right, I'm back inside. And for a good 35 minutes, it was wild. It got real wild. So a tornado did not touch down where I'm at, but about 20 miles north of us, a tiny little one did touch down briefly and did some minor damage, but just the winds in general, I'm like, where when you drive past my place, it's just it's open fields and woods on each side, and there's just so many trees that have just been snapped in half. So it's been an interesting change. And later that day, after the storm rolled away out of the Dallas area, the pressure system that brought a dust storm. So it's 3 p.m. I'm talking to my buddy, and he's looking out I don't have a window. I have a door that goes out to the balcony. And he's like, is that another storm rolling in? I'm like, the clouds aren't the right color. I'm like, the hell is that? Again, Southern California, we don't have dust storms. I know if you're in Vegas or if you're in Phoenix, they get them. I experienced my first dust storm, and that was bonkers, to say the least. There's a picture, because my aunt and uncle live out here too. They're in Lubbock, so they're about 4 hours away. And I called them. I'm like, hey, is everything cool over there? They're like, it's 70-mile-an-hour winds, and we're sitting. My aunt said, we're literally watching the sky turn completely brown. It's like a brown cloud's just enveloping us right now. I'm like, yeah, that's what it's looking like out here right now. They're like, yeah, we get these occasionally. They just blow off from the plains. I'm like, yeah, this is a whole different beast than dealing with earthquakes and fires that California's used to. So I'm adapting to the Midwest life right now. So I have a friend in Omaha, and he said, yeah, it takes about a year, then you get used to it. And he's like, it's when you get in winter, when it gets icy, that's the time to watch out for it. So yes. I've already experienced 14 degrees, and I'm just like, I'm normally a big dude, so I run warm. I think she's seen me wear pants, like proper pants, not shorts. Let me make sure that's not in a sort of facetious way. I wear shorts everywhere. I'm a shorts guy. I wear shorts. I think you probably see me wear pants twice in the 12 years we've known each other now, 13 years.
Yeah.
I was wearing pants for a whole week because it was cold. And even my buddy who I live with, I've known for 25 years. He's like, you're wearing pants. I'm like, it's freezing, dude. Like I know I thought I could deal with this. I'm like, these are frigid temperatures. Our friend Helmy came into the Dallas area right after I got in here, and we had this cold snap come in, and he was like, is it always this cold? I'm like, I don't know. I've never really been out here during the winter, but apparently this is normal. And he's like, oh my God, it's freezing. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cold. It's pretty cold. So yeah, it's been fun. As you can see behind me, I'm setting up my area. It's still very, I'm almost settled in. I got all these bare walls. I got artwork and stuff I'm gonna put up. So hopefully the next podcast we do, it looks a little more glamorous. But for right now, you got four walls. It looks like I'm sitting in some sort of, I don't know, because the walls are kind of, the ceiling's concave a little bit. So, but yeah, so. You're in California, I'm in Texas, so we're covering Kaiju from every end. And in the couple of weeks I've been out here, I've been quite surprised by how much Godzilla stuff I have seen out here. So there's actually a show in Fort Worth in 2 weeks that my buddy and I are going to go to. He's going to bring his kid, and he's like, oh, he loves monsters. So there's going to be that. So I've been quite surprised. In Austin, did Austin.
Yes.
Last weekend, Austin's a great town. I just happened to go Mardi Gras weekend, and I'm 41, and I can't deal with that kind of nonsense anymore. I'm old. I know I'm old because I'm like, get me away from these people. I just want to go get barbecue, and I want to go comic book shopping. That's what I want to deal with. So I'm not here for daiquiris on 6th Street or anything like that, but I couldn't figure it out. And my buddy who is Catholic, he's like, it is Mardi Gras weekend. I'm like, oh, damn it. We had to come this weekend. We had to come for Mardi Gras. Like, but turned out to be a fun time. Austin's a beautiful city. Like, I got it. I've been telling Jessica, she's got to come out because it is nerd central out there. So, and Dallas is very nerdy, turns out. I found an antique mall. There's what, by the way, you throw a rock, you hit an antique mall out here. There's so many antique malls in Dallas. And again, shout out to Helmy because he's like, dude, this, you know, he sent me this link to this. He's like, this is in Dallas. I'm like, well, I got time today. Let me go check it out. This is one antique mall in North Dallas that upstairs, like you walk in, it's cool antiques. It's not like a Goodwill. Like there's legit cool stuff out here. But upstairs, it's nothing but horror stuff. They just sell horror merchandise. It's like there's a separate store and they have their own little kaiju section. It's like in a closet, but it's adorable. And they had all kinds of like Sofubis and posters. Like hard to find stuff that I'm like, I've not seen this outside of Japan or G-Fest. So it's finding these little nuggets has been delightful. And the comic book stores out here are insane. They're massive. Shout out to Titan Comics. That's a friend of mine who lived out here recommended, like, go to them. Yeah. And the dude that runs it, sweetest guy in the world and very knowledgeable of his comic book stuff. But he has a robust Godzilla collection out there to buy from. So that that's just been, you know, kind of settling into the Texas life. That and eating a lot of barbecue. Can't get Mexican food out here to save my life, but I got barbecue now, so I can live with it.
Oh, you're gonna have to visit back. I mean, if you're not gonna find Tex-Mex, then you should visit back and get proper.
I'm coming back for Comic-Con. I don't miss Comic-Con come hell or high water. I've been going since 94. I've not missed a single show. So that's not going to stop me this year. So I will be back in California for Comic-Con. So I'm going to make it a week and some change. Just, you know, I got my nephews out there, other family and stuff. So going to come say hi and whatnot, but it's Comic-Con. That is my, that's my Mecca. That is my year. That is,
yes,
I'm going. And I'm just gonna disappear into the crowd like the ending of Darkman, like Liam Neeson when he puts on the mask and becomes Bruce Campbell. I'm just like, I get lost in that crowd. That is my 5 days of Zen. Yes, it is the most insane way to get Zen because it's probably the most chaotic place you could ever be. But that is my happy spot. So I will be back for that. But I digress. Because we're not here to talk about our daily lives. We wanted to get caught up because I think the last time you and I actually sat down was like August to record one of these. So there's been a lot to catch up on. But there's something I want. The topic of today's show is something I wanted to do before I took off for Japan. Unfortunately, because of the travel schedule, I was actually back in Chicago in mid-October. At the same hotel where G-Fest is held for Kevin Smith's Chronicon. I was working that show, and it was very weird being there without thousands of Godzilla nerds running around. And I'm like, oh, it's a quieter show. I'm like, it's not the same. It's not the same. You go to G-Fest for the camaraderie. That's kind of what you go for. But I wanted to do the show before the proper 70th anniversary. I knew it was going to be in Japan for the 70th. I knew Jessica was going to be in Italy. So I was like, let's do this when I come back. And then all of our schedules just went to hell. And then we both had to be on our respective ways. So what we're going to be doing with this episode is we're going to be celebrating the 70th anniversary in a way that I think we did it for a show back when the 60th happened, which tells you how long ago we did this topic. And there have been many more movies since then. So I asked Jessica to make a list. I have made a list. Yes. We don't know each other's list. I purposely said, do not tell me anything. I'm not going to tell you anything. And we're going to go through all 38 Godzilla movies. Now, I will preface it this. We're not going to sit here and break down all 38. We're gonna make it easy on you to listen. Plus, it's also close to 1 a.m. my time as we're doing this. So we're going to go through our list of our personal favorite, where we rank the Godzilla movies, the whole series. And this includes the TriStar film and the Legendary movies. The only thing we didn't include were the TV shows. So Monarch, the anime, and the cartoons are not involved with this. The anime films are involved, yes, though, because those count as theatrical films. They were released in theaters in Japan. So we are going to go down our list, and when we get to our top 10, then we will break it down a little bit more, but we'll power through the bulk of the list for you guys, so you're not sitting here going, geez, good Lord, is this going to be a four-hour podcast? No, it's not. No, we're going to keep it simple and fun, and part of it is reacting to where each of us rank our movies, because I don't know where Jessica's is, and she doesn't know where mine's are. So I figured, because I broke mine down in like rows of five until I got to the last one. So considering that I pride myself on being a gentleman, Jessica, I'm going to let you go first. If you want to give me your first, let's do your first five, and then I'll do my next five. We'll do it like that. Does that sound good?
So we're going to go 38 to 33.
Yes. That's how we're going to do it. So we're going from least to best. That's how we're going. So we're starting with the bottom. And by the way, before anybody gets all uppity, this does not mean we don't like these films. Yeah. I am of the opinion there's no such thing as a bad Godzilla movie. But personally, there's some I like more than others. So that is how we're framing this.
I know. So, yes. I mean, some Batman is better than no Batman. You know, in terms of films, television, whatever, same with Doctor Who. So I love all the Godzilla films. I will say, I guess later we can talk about how we made our list.
Yes.
Because I think Chris and I approached it similarly, despite whatever we're going to end up with. So 38 to 33.
Yes.
I'm going to read it. My little paper's right here. Should I say the number? I should say the number in case people are confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do that.
All right. Oh, gosh. People are going to... Don't hate us. This is... We'll explain how we did this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
38. Godzilla the Planet Eater.
Okay.
Oh, 2018. We should say the year, because some of these have similar freaking
names. Yes, especially considering there's three movies called... Considering there's three movies called Godzilla on there, so...
That's true. Number 38 is Godzilla the Planet Eater, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
37 is Godzilla City on the Edge of Battle, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
36 is Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, 2017. Mm-hmm. 35 is Godzilla 1998, TriStar. 34 is Godzilla versus Kong, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then 33 is Godzilla 2014.
Well, interesting. Very interesting. So this is going to be this is why I didn't want to hear the list, because one, I'll say this. I already knew you were going to put those anime movies at the bottom of the list. I knew for a fact you're going to start, like, because we discussed those and you were very, very vocal about your displeasure for those anime movies. So yeah, those first three don't surprise me. I'm kind of shocked the Legendary movies are kind of that low on the list. So that's a little surprising to me. So this is the fun of this. I did not see that coming. So.
All right.
Woo, all right. Chris. So me starting from 38. So 38, I got Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. And I've said this time and time again. I've gotten dirty looks from people, but yes, this is my absolute least favorite Godzilla movie of all time. So 37, Son of Godzilla. Okay. Even as a kid, I was like, this is cool, but...
This is, yes. You know.
So, okay, so 38, 37. 36 is Godzilla 98, the TriStar film. Now, to be fair, I have rewatched this recently, and I have changed my opinion on my overall tone of the film, but in terms of a Godzilla movie... It's not the best Godzilla movie. So let's see, 38, 37. So 35 is Godzilla versus King Ghidorah from 1991, and then 34 is All Monsters Attack, aka Godzilla's Revenge. So 38, 37.
Oh, 34.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I did that right.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are my first five.
Yes. I was looking for where I put... Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I should have written down what you wrote so we can cross-reference later. All right.
We can cross-reference later, yes.
Yeah. So 32 to... 1, 2, 3, 4... Okay, so 32 to 28.
Mm-hmm.
32, Son of Godzilla.
Okay, so not far off where I had mine.
Not far. I think we're good. Mm. 31 is All Monsters Attack.
Okay.
1969.
Wow. Yep.
30 is Godzilla 2000 Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
29. Oh, wait. What number did I say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so 29 is Godzilla versus Megaguirus 2000. Mm-hmm. And 28 is Invasion of the Astro Monsters.
Oh, I'm actually surprised that's that low on the list. Interesting. Okay. So my 32 is Godzilla City on the Edge of Battle. 31 is Godzilla versus Space Godzilla. 30 is Ibraya, Horror of the Deep. 29. Wait, did I say 3, 7, 6, 5, 4? So 33 is City on Edge of Battle. 32 is Space Godzilla. 31 is Ibraya. 30 is Godzilla Planet Eater. And 29 is Godzilla Planet of the Monsters.
What about 28?
That would probably be Planet of the... I didn't number these, so I'm numbering in my head as I'm going along.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, yeah. So, those are my next five. So, City of Edge of Battle, Space Godzilla, Ibraya Horror of the Deep, Planet Eater, and Planet of the Monsters. And, yes, I'm a little... I do like those anime movies. I do like them, and I do defend them. And I feel like I'm the only person on the planet that does defend them, but I will admit they are lower on the totem pole in the overall gestalt of Godzilla.
Yes.
So
yes, I would say, I mean, people are going to find out where Ibraya is because I always talk about Ibraya, Horror of the Deep.
Mm-hmm.
I know it needs to rank, like, I don't know if you guys have seen it on social media, but it ranks the top 10 richest billionaires in lifetime as their stock market's moving. Mm-hmm. So you'll see their names kind of shift,
yeah,
you know, as the numbers, you know, as the stock goes on through the day. Mm-hmm. This was part of my list, yes, where like they were shifting as, you know, like even now as Chris is reading his, mine's is shifting in my mind, but it's too late. I already numbered them. So I'm not moving them anymore. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay. So we ended at 28.
Yeah.
Okay. So 27 through 22.
All right.
27 is Godzilla Raids Again.
Okay.
1975. Sounds 26 is Terror of Godzilla. Mm-hmm. 1975. 25. All right. 20. I just want to say 25 through 20, every single one next to it has a question mark. Because there's like a gray area for me where they all just kind of move. But
yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it depends. 25 is Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, 2002. Godzilla Tokyo SOS, 2003, is number 24. 23 is Godzilla Final Wars, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
22 is Godzilla versus Megalon, 1973.
All right. So here's my next five. I have Terror of Mechagodzilla. And again... Mm. I've gotten a lot of crap from people because the other one ranks a little higher. And for most Godzilla fans, they love Terror Mechagodzilla. Don't care for the other one. But I always get the look like, really? That low for you?
Yeah.
After that, I have Godzilla vs. Destoroyah from 95, which it is the 30th anniversary this year. And then after that, I have Godzilla vs. Mothra from 92. After that is Godzilla 2000 from 99. And then wrapping that up is Destroy All Monsters.
Okay. Okay. We ended at 22. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're at 21 now. And actually, I made little notes next to it. I'm like, why I put them there. Like what I liked about it or what I didn't like about it. For some of them, not for all of them.
Once we dig through the list, we can go back on that.
Yeah. Let's see. It is Godzilla versus Gigan, 1972 mm-hmm. for 21. Mm-hmm. 20 is Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, mm. 1994. Mm-hmm. Number 19 is Godzilla versus Hedorah, mm-hmm. or Hedorah, 1971. 18 is Abraia Horror of the Deep.
Wow, I'm actually shocked it's that far up. I'm shocked. Color me surprised.
It's not a popular opinion mm-hmm. in any regards. And then we did 20, it was 22, wait, 21, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, and then Abraia is number 18. 17, so we end at 17. 17 yeah. is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, 1993.
All right. Well, here are my next five. I have the beginning of the MonsterVerse, Godzilla from 2014. After that is Godzilla Raids Again. Then I have Godzilla versus Megalon, Godzilla versus Gigan, and then Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, as it's technically called in the by Toho from 93. So the Heisei Mechagodzilla movie.
Okay. Do we both name 17 as the same one? Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla? 1993, is that what you said?
Yeah, I ended on Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
Oh my god, both of our 17 Oh god.
It's fair to Midland. That's why. It's probably one of the better ones of the Heisei, but yeah. I mean, there's some better ones.
We're roughly in the middle. 38 is almost 40, so divided by 2, we're roughly about 18 to 20. Okay, so then we're going to do 16, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 16 to 12.
Yep.
If I'm doing this. 16 is Godzilla versus Mothra, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
15, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, 2019.
Okay.
Number 14 is Godzilla, Kong, the New Empire.
All right.
I guess X-Kong. 2024, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. 13 is Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant All Monsters Attack.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. 12. I know, mm-hmm. you're like, friendship ended. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm about to be a friendship ender.
We're going to have talks after this.
12 is Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, 1991.
Okay. So my next five, I have Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. And then after that, I have Godzilla, Tokyo SOS. After that is Mothra versus Godzilla from 1964. Also from 1964, Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. And then rounding out that list, this bottom five, is Godzilla versus Biollante.
Okay. That's really interesting. Okay. So we're all kind of close, but like not really. 11 is The Return of Godzilla, 1984. Mm-hmm. Number 10. Oh, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we end at 7. Okay. 11 is The Return of Godzilla, mm-hmm. 1984. 10 is Godzilla versus Destroyer, 1995. And then number 9 for me is Destroy All Monsters, mm-hmm. 1968. And 8 is Mothra versus Godzilla, 1964. And then number 7 is Shin Godzilla.
All right. I think he jumped ahead of me a little bit.
Did I jump?
You might have jumped, but I think in that top, again, I should have numbered these. Let me play a little catch up. So Here are my next five after that, and that leaves me, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That'll put me at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got my top 10 at the bottom, so I got 5 more, and then my top 10. So I think you're ahead of me by like 3.
See, I guess I can't count.
Yeah, but I think where we landed on the same one. I also had Return of Godzilla. I think in the spot where you had. Then I have, make sure that's the right one. Yes. Then I have Godzilla King of the Monsters from 2019. Then I have the original, the 54 Godzilla after that. And then I have Invasion of the Astro Monsters. And then rounding out the bottom of this five is Godzilla versus Megaguirus. So that puts me at, that's my number 11. So now I'm in my top 10. And you're at seven? So you got 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. So you got six more then.
Find out that I can't do math. Or I can do math. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
Stereotype I was supposed to be.
So wait, so you're at seven?
Yeah, I'm at seven. So I have my top six.
So you got top six. Okay, so let me catch up then. So 10, 9, 8, 7. Okay, so my next four, that'll get me to the tops. Okay, so the next three, so at 10, I have Shin Godzilla. At 9, I have Godzilla versus Ghidorah. And at 8, I have Godzilla versus Kong. Now, you stopped at 7? Can you hear me? Oh, I can't hear you. Hold on. Did I blink?
Hear me because you unmuted my mic. I just saw the thing pop up.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. What was
that? Was on me. Okay. So next one is 6 or 7?
Which is Shin Godzilla 2016 for me.
So that's your number 7. Okay. So, go ahead, wrap up your end of the list.
Is Godzilla versus number 6 for me is Godzilla versus Biollante 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 is King Kong versus Godzilla.
Ooh.
1962.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 is Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Is Godzilla minus one.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult for me. Number 2 is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla in 1974. And number 1, because I'm vanilla, Godzilla 1954.
Oh, okay.
But those 1 and 3, like Godzilla minus 1, mm-hmm, and Godzilla 1954, they interchange like that billionaire's lifetime net worth list.
Yeah.
Because I've seen one more than the other. I won't say which one yet. But.
Okay. So my final six is Godzilla Final Wars, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack. I think this is where I messed up because this thing was longer. Then I have King Kong versus Godzilla. My number 2 is Godzilla minus 1. And my number 1 all-time favorite Godzilla movie is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla from 1974. And of course, it has not changed. That has remained a constant since I was 8 years old. So that has not changed one bit. All right.
I guess now we could, we will put up on our Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, like I'll type up my list because I know for those who are listening, you guys got lost and now
I'm in the show notes. I'm going to put both of our lists up. So I'll put those up there. So you'll see mine. You'll see Jessica's. So just to go over our top 10 one more time, Jessica, your top 10, break it down one last time for everyone.
1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1 or number 1 to number 10?
10 to 1.
Godzilla versus Destoroyah.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Destroy All Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Mothra versus Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Shin Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, Godzilla versus Biollante.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, King Kong versus Godzilla, 1962.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Godzilla minus 1. Number 2, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, 1974. Mm-hmm. And number 1 is Godzilla 1954.
All right. So, and then here's my top 10. One more time, let me double check this because, again, I'm making sure the way I formatted this. Okay. So number 10 for me is Invasion of the Astral Monsters, a.k.a. Godzilla vs. Monster Zero. Number 9 is Godzilla vs. Megaguirus. Number 8 is Shin Godzilla. Number 7 is Godzilla vs. Hedorah. Number 6 is Godzilla vs. Kong from 2021. Number 5 is Godzilla Final Wars. Number 4 is GMK. Number 3 is King Kong vs. Godzilla. Number 2 is Godzilla Minus 1. And number 1 is Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 74, which has not changed from that first list. I know for a fact that has not changed. And I've seen Mechagodzilla probably in that time about a dozen times at screenings. It's been nice that Janice has had the films because I've done many screenings, and it's nice to have a clean print because I saw a really bad print in L.A. a couple years back, and it was... I don't know if you've ever seen a movie that's all red, but this copy was all red. Like, it was, the print was sun bleached to hell. So it was like, man, if I had not seen this about 20 dozen times already, I would be mad, but I can't argue. So let's break this down a little bit. Let's start at the bottom. Your bottom list. You're just your bottom five, and then our top 10. We'll break this down a little bit. So, your bottom, why? Why?
One ear pod in right now? I don't know. Can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, you keep kind of like popping a little bit. I see your lips moving, then you start. Once you've like faced the camera, like all of a sudden it comes back.
Give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to edit.
Okay. All right, and we're back. We had a little technical difficulty, but you barely notice it with the edit. So, all right, so where we were, excuse me, we're going to break down our bottom five. And let's just do our top five. We'll just break down our top five, our bottom five and our top five for Schnitz and Giggles. Because again, it's very interesting because there are some things I thought they would be much higher on your list that I was kind of shocked by how low they were. So
really? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So the bottom five is, I'll do 38 to 33, which was Godzilla Planet Eater. Because I think it was like a 2 hour or 3 hour. Like, how long was the anime? It was.
They're each like 90 minutes. They're really not that long. But we waited for both movies, the back end of both movies to record. Yeah. So we sat for 3 hours talking about them. So that's probably why they feel like 3 hour movies to you. Because, yes, we sat in your friend Sam's kitchen till 2 a.m. Yeah. As you got very passionate about your dislike for these movies.
That ending was not for me. I understand for some it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Various reasons. But to me, that was not the ending I suffered through to get.
Mm-hmm.
I also was not promised what I felt was even like part of what the kaiju should have looked like and should have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of all of the ideas, like their Mechagodzilla and their King Ghidorah, I did like their Godzilla, who has grown so large. It is the largest version. Everything else around it has Godzilla calcified to look, you know, like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But each one got worse. So like the last one was the worst. And then the middle one was Godzilla City on the edge of battle, where you had to like squint. To see if it kind of looked like Picasso's version of Mechagodzilla, you know, like
it is a very wonky design. Like I can't, I can't tell. I had that figure for a while, and I would sit there staring at it. I'm like, okay, it has the basic outline of a Godzilla, but in what world is this a Godzilla? I know it's technically an anime. It's all CG, but it is such an out there, nutty design for what Mechagodzilla would be like. How would this thing even operate? Because we never saw it, you know, in battle.
Yes.
Yes. And that's, I know that's one of the frustrating things with these anime films is that you're in the realm of animation. So a lot of the stuff should be a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
And yet, instead of going with big monster battles, they went with very philosophical themes.
Yes.
In deep sci-fi. Yes. That's why I call it the Star Trek of Godzilla, because that's really what these movies are. And I know that, yes, there's a lot of stuff around this. It was supposed to be a series. It got chopped down to the three movies. The books apparently are far better and kind of what everyone wanted these movies to be. I do appreciate them for what they are and what they are trying to do, but I do understand the frustration with a lot of people. Yes. And I know for a fact you really hate that ending because our hero leaves his pregnant girlfriend to go kamikaze into Godzilla with his dead other girlfriend. And going back to 2018 in that kitchen, and Jessica is literally standing on her chair because we weren't recording video at the time. I wish we had gotten video. And just like slamming her fist down because of how appalled at this ending that we got. She's like, are you effing kidding me right now with this? It was set. It's okay. It's fake. She's like, no, this will not stand. Much like Godzilla 2014, you're like, I only care if that dog survived.
It was like, and the male lead was also named Haruo.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of Haruo, great stand-up guy. And I felt like even if it was an homage, I'm sorry? Even if it was an homage to him or not, like, that was a way to bring out his name.
Yeah.
Like, maybe how you feel with the Eaton Fire.
Yes. Besmirching the good name.
It's the ending. I'm sure, like, some people get it on, like, maybe a philosophical or existential, like, reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't come from that background. I also don't come from that culture.
Yeah.
That is, you don't leave your pregnant woman. And then there's so many things, not just that, the whole kaijus that you kind of like didn't see, or they're moving the city. Like, I like with Shin Godzilla, I don't mind some creative liberties with design.
Yeah.
So I was actually excited for their version of Mechagodzilla, and it was fun. But the thing is, we didn't see it in battle. It was that, you know, it was kind of like the moment where you watched the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four and you see Galactus and you squint.
Oh, yeah.
Just
he's a cloud. It's a freaking cloud.
Hoping to see two pointy.
Yeah.
Two little, but like you don't know. And then you gaslight yourself into thinking you did. I spent a lot of time squinting and being like looking for the Mecha Godzilla city. I was like, I can't.
I do find it interesting that first movie is essentially setting everything up, and it's probably the best of the series because it is kind of setting up. But then the next two movies both pick weird philosophical topics to be the subtext of the films. Part two is all about communism, and then part three is about a weird. I wouldn't even say it's about evangelical faith. It is, it is very faith-based, but it does feel more cultish than anything else. And these are these are wild topics for an animated Godzilla movie. Like, this is the first time you're doing animated Godzilla in a theatrical format, and these are the way you go with it. But, you know, smarter people than I will say, I forgot the gentleman's name off the top of my head, but the guy that wrote it, this is his bread and butter. This is what he makes, bummer animes. This is his thing. So, you know, a lot of people I talked to, including Kevin, shout out to Kevin, I'm not surprised because this is kind of the MO. This is the MO. And, you know, when Unfortunately, the one of the directors on that project, when he was announced doing the Netflix Gamera series, people just rolled their eyes and like, oh God, this is what we're going to get. And all he wanted to do was like, I want to make a movie of monsters beating each other. And he did that with that Gamera series. We never really got to talk about that Gamera series. I started with our friend Glennie, but I never got to finish it. That is something we're considering, that they're going to be releasing it in TV in next month. We might have to revisit Gamera and properly review it back in April, hopefully. But we'll come back to that another time. So I get it. So the two anime films, actually it's all three anime films back to back, right?
Because I was very like, if a 90-minute film feels 4 hours to me, mm-hmm. and I'm bored and frustrated, mm-hmm. There's a problem. Yes. Which then leads to 35, mm-hmm. which was TriStar's Godzilla 1998.
Yes.
Because there was only 2.5 movies where I ever felt so embarrassed I brought my friends along. Mm-hmm. That I wanted to get up and leave, or like I hid in my chair and crawled into my chair.
Little 14-year-old Jessica at the theaters, embarrassed.
Like 14, 15. Yeah, like I don't, like however old I can't even remember. It's because it came out, I believe, near my birthday or near something.
It was Memorial Day weekend, so it would have been around your birthday. Yeah.
And none of my friends were Godzilla people.
Yeah.
But I was hyping up the movie. I was very excited because the foot and the marketing was really great. And I took they basically came because it was my birthday, and my birthday wish was for everyone to came. So I sat with like a whole row or like two rows of my friends. Mm-hmm. And as the film is going, mm-hmm. and then it reveals like the eggs and that he's a sheet and it's the whole thing. And then she kind of looks more like a T-Rex. Like I could look down the aisle and I can see them looking back at me. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Because they don't like Godzilla, but they know, like,
they know what Godzilla is. You have an idea.
So not only did she not look like what they thought, turned out to be completely different. Matthew Broderick was fine. The giant earthworm, like they were just confused, and it didn't take place in any Asian country. They were like, why is it this? Mm-hmm. There was so much stuff. I remember leaving. I like the idea of something completely different. You know, they gender enter. That's fine. However, I remember feeling very embarrassed when I left the theater. And luckily, some of my friends joked about it. They didn't really give me a hard time.
Yeah.
But I felt embarrassed that I brought them out to this movie. Do you know what I mean? To like the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said 2.5 movies.
Oh. So what was the second and what was the half?
Okay.
I got to know.
The second movie was The Spirit.
Oh.
With.
Oh. God. Oh, my God.
Which
you
also
have to say no more. Say no more. Oh, because I know this hit you harder. Not to look, we're gonna just a slight detour for a second, because anytime The Spirit comes up, I have to talk about it, because this is a train wreck of a movie that came out 2 weeks before another train wreck comic book movie, which was Punisher Warzone.
Okay.
So my dad loved comic books. He loved Will Eisner.
Yes.
I said, hey, they made a Spirit movie. Do you want to go see it? He's like, yeah. And my buddy that I'm living with right now came along. So it was the three of us. We sat down, and I knew that this is Frank Miller directing it. And like, okay, he worked with Rodriguez on Sin City. He directed one of the segments.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Now you're trying your hand and you know comic books. I'm pretty sure you knew Eisner at some point. So you're going to do The Spirit proper. And if you don't know who The Spirit is, Jessica, who is The Spirit?
Oh my God. I feel so bad to even like talk about it. I'm having traumatic
The Spirit's a much more upbeat, kind of pulpy character. Absolutely nothing of what Frank Miller did with this film. Now, he shot it like Sin City, yes, but he is not Robert Rodriguez. And yes, I wish Robert Rodriguez was on that set with him going, Frank, like maybe turn this back a little bit. Now, here's the thing. I'm in no way saying this movie is good, remotely good. But there is a turning point, because the first half of this movie, I'm sitting there and like, I'm getting a headache because this movie is so forced. The acting is so stiff.
Yes, and yes.
And there's a murderer's row of talent in this film. Like, everybody in this is a veteran at this point.
Yes, yes.
And Ava Mendez sounds like she just came out of, like, her high school drama class. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And then we get to three-fourths of the way into the film. And we get to Sam Jackson and Scarlett Johansson. And they've captured the spirit. And Sam Jackson is dressed like a freaking SS officer. And so is Scarlett Johansson. And I sat back and I turned to my dad and I turned to my buddy. I'm like, what the F is going on here? And yes, then this movie goes into a different direction of bonkers insanity. Now, it is by no way any good, but it's one of those, this is so bad, I am enjoying myself. This is a train wreck that it is unintentionally hilarious at this point. And I am howling laughing at the last 40 minutes of this movie, where I walked out, my dad goes, that has got to be one of the worst comic book movies I've ever seen. I'm like, oh, without a doubt. But I weirdly enjoyed a quarter of that movie because of just how silly it got. It got super silly at the end.
Yes. Yes. And like, this is not even like, I sat through Eric Bana's Hulk. Mm-hmm. I have reasons for it. It was, you know, but I came out, it was more like what was that? But yeah. So the spirit again was my recommendation because when you're like teenagers or like, mm-hmm, young adults, whatever, you were into Sin City, right? So I told people, see, comic books are great. Sin City was, mm-hmm, different. It's done the thing. The spirit's going to be good, you know, all this other stuff. And it looked like, and then again, all friends came. And the part when it lost me, when I heard my guy friends go, what? And they're straight, you know, and, mm-hmm, Mendes is beautiful, and they're like, what the F is the part where she sits on the photocopy machine?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then says, yeah, something about her behind. I know there's children, mm-hmm, that listen, mm-hmm, to our show.
Yeah.
And that happened, and it was forced, and it literally came out of, and I remember that was, you know, there's little moments where you watch something and it takes you out, not in the hilarious funny way, but in the,
like, no, I can't buy this anymore. Yeah.
And I heard my friend over goes, Jessica, what is this? Yeah. And they didn't even do that during Sucker Punch. But yeah, so there was that. Yeah. So those were the two. And then part was, again, maybe the common denominator is me taking my friends, being excited because of the comic book. I'm beginning to think it's me. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 3, when Tobey Maguire comes out emo, wearing all black and starts dancing down the street. That's also when I heard my friends who know more about Spider-Man, obviously, right, than, yeah, the Spirit or Godzilla. That's when they went, what the hell, yeah, is happening? And actually one guy in my friend group actually got, mm-hmm, up and he did leave the film. He did actually leave. But I want to see it till the end, you know?
Yeah.
So I scrunched up into a tiny fetal position ball,
mm-hmm,
just like rocking back and forth in my chair. Like I felt so bad, but that was like my half, right?
Yeah.
Those are the two and a half worst experiences where I recommended, because I guess they were all kaiju comic book related.
Mm-hmm.
And then
those are justifiable. Those are, yeah, definitely.
And I will say, for a while I was not allowed to choose movies.
Yeah.
It had to be group senses.
For me, the first time I realized movies could be bad, I walked out of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And I turned to my brother, my cousins. I'm like, that was bad, right? They're like, no, it was awesome. I'm like, no, something was off. Something was bad. And then years later, they're like, yeah, that movie's garbage. It's absolutely garbage. Like, it is so bad. But yeah, I mean, look, my rule of thumb is if I pay for a movie, I don't walk out. I stay, no matter how bad it is, I stay till the very end. And I've sat through some crap. The last movie I really wanted to walk out of, but I didn't because I had my 90-year-old grandmother with me, was this movie called The Rider. And I, there was a point I'm just like, oh my God, this is, yeah, it's a Chloe Zhao movie. And she decided to use the real people that the story is based on. So you're not getting what I would call, civic theater quality acting in this thing. And there's a lot of other things going on with this movie where I was like, No, but I digress. So the anime films,
yes, you know, TriStar,
yeah, TriStar,
Godzilla. See the next couple, 2 to 3, whatever they all. I hate. I mean, yes, he's up there, but I hate Manila with a passion. So Son of Godzilla is there. Godzilla versus Kong, because I didn't really feel like I got the every time there was an epic fight. I prefer Godzilla.
Yeah.
There was too much human characters happening. Mm-hmm. We're following Millie Bobby's brown character a little bit, like too much. It was a whole thing. And Godzilla spent most of his time. There's a great one called a pitch meeting with Ryan George, where it's a YouTube series. And he said, he goes, you know, Kong spends a lot of his time and it's just images of him on his back or like me surprised. It was not the epic showdown. For the first time they meet in Monster Versus, I was hoping. And then, you know, Godzilla 2014, because what I only really liked was the atomic breath at the end with Mutos. But we spent most of the time following Aaron Taylor Johnson's character, and Elizabeth Olsen pops in and out. And you only see teases of him. I understand some people love that. I have a friend who absolutely loved the movie. I didn't, because I'm there for the kaijus, and if not, then the story needs to be compelling with the humans. They better not annoy the crap out of me, which is why I liked Godzilla Kong New Empire, because I actually like Rebecca Hall's character, you know, Andrews. I liked Dan Stevens's character. I like, you know, like the humans were there, but they were much more well done in this case, which is why I didn't mind. That they were on screen, but it was also more monster action. So those were like the bottom ones where I was no. And I,
So those are your bottom five for good reason.
Yeah. 5 to 6. I guess I got so angry. I just started naming all of them. And then Son of Godzilla. So I may have named 6 or 7, but when Chris puts up the typed list that we type out, you can see, but those were my bottoms. I started bottom and top.
So, and then we sidetracked into the spirit in there for a little bit. So, yeah, my bottom is Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. I know a lot of people love this movie. I love Tokyo SOS. I love Tokyo SOS to death. But against Mechagodzilla is just, to me, probably the most sluggish of all the movies. It's why it's not, it's at the bottom of my list. It's been at the bottom of my list for a long time. I remember when I finally sat down to watch it, I'm like, oh, okay. But at that point, we already knew that the sequel was coming out. So I'm like, well, maybe the sequel's better. And I got to see the sequel in theater. I didn't watch Against Mechagodzilla at a screening. Out here in LA, they were doing pretty much all the Millennium films at a point at the Egyptian, but they didn't do Against Mechagodzilla. But Tokyo SOS, I love Tokyo SOS to death. Son of Godzilla is, you know, as a kid, I would watch it. I'm just like, it's a weird pace. Yeah, there's just a lot of like goofy stuff going on. And the monsters are just, you know, they're big bugs. So they don't invoke that kind of like, oh, this is awesome. It's like it's a big spider and a big praying mantis. The TriStar movie, obviously, but you know, I've come around to enjoy aspects of the TriStar movie as a monster movie on its own. And the fact of, you know, when I watched it at G-Fest last year, I was like, yeah, man, I forgot how much miniature work was in this. And it looks so much better than 90% of the CG that's done today. Like, I can defend aspects of that movie, and overall, as a just a big monster movie, it's perfectly fine. But as a Godzilla movie, it's like, it's not what you wanted, and it's the way Hollywood was working at that time. They're like, well, Jurassic Park's huge, so let's just make big Jurassic Park. That's what we're doing. It's big Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the legendary movies have rectified that. King Ghidorah is probably my least favorite of all the Millennium films. And again, it's kind of a slog. Like, I rewatched it recently. Once it popped up on Max, I was, you know, curious to see the quality. It's better than the DVD I have. And I just remember sitting there, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a reason. I mean, it's got some janky stuff in it that does not hold up.
Yeah.
And then All Monsters Attack, it's a clip show. That's really what it is at the end of the day. It's a clip show. You know, there's some fun things in there, but even as a kid, I'm like, I don't like, this is the thing growing up. And this is what I argue with animation and cartoons today,
yeah,
is that the era I grew up on, kids were not the main characters. Adults were.
Because yes.
You wanted to be the adults. You wanted to grow up to be the adults. You didn't want to be the kid. In the day and age I watched cartoons in the 80s and 90s, the kid was always the annoying character. And you always hated the kid. I always hated Spike. The little brat and mask, hated him. Anytime they put a kid character, like Wile E. Kid, Wile E. Cat, no, no. Lino, Tigra, those were the cool people. Not those two, not the kids. So this idea of like, oh, you need a kid for them to relate. No, you don't. You need a cool character that they can look up to. That is the difference. And that's part of the reason why even as a kid, I'm just like, at 9 years old watching this movie, I'm like, this kid's kind of a brat. Like,
yeah,
dick.
Yeah,
I get he's a latchkey kid, so he's kind of lashing out, but, and the dub does not do it any favors. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't really prefer kids in my film. I do love kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with kids and teenagers, it'll depend. Like, mm-hmm. Phoebe, Egon Spengler's.
Yeah. She's great.
She's great in the first one. In the second one, she kind of, Frozen Empire, she started doing some things that she was kind of smart. Yeah. She shouldn't. They went into the trope. For someone so smart, she's making really dumb decisions.
Yes.
But she's also sad, maybe, and she's a teenager. Sure, we can write that. But there's just, really quick, the new Jurassic Park World movie's coming out with Scarlett Johansson and everything, and, you know, Mahershala Ali. Okay, I was all for it.
Because
until I saw the glimpse of a child character. And I was like, oh no.
It's always death. It's always death. Yeah, I know. It's, again, sitting and watching The Predator. It's like, to be fair, like, Shane Black even said, he's like, I kind of didn't know where I was going with that movie. So there's a lot of other problems with it. Not, the Predator himself is not the issue with that movie. It's the story. And the magical kid character that can figure out the tech, that was one of them. Okay, so real quick, we had some technical issues. So we are wrapping this episode up a day later. Just for those watching on the YouTube channel and wondering, Jessica's wearing something different. Yes, it's because it's been 24 hours later. We had a myriad of issues just pop up, and it was already late on my end. So we're moving forward. Tech issues aside. So we talked about our bottom five. We're going to talk about our top 10. So, Jessica, let's start with you. Why you chose your top 10. Let's go down to your top 10 real quick.
Okay, I didn't know. I was trying to do continuity. I don't know. You guys can tell me later. You can comment below. Tell me if I'm wearing the same shirt. I don't know. I thought I did, but I didn't. I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right. Our top 10. We're going to start with 10.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then we're going to move our way up. Okay. So 10 is Godzilla versus Destoroyah, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy All Monsters is number 9. Number 8 is Mothra versus Godzilla. Number 7 is Shin Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6 is Godzilla versus Biollante. Mm-hmm. Biollante, excuse me. Number 5 is King Kong versus Godzilla 1962. Yes. Number 4 is Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And then Godzilla Minus One, 2023 for number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 1 is the original Godzilla, which is 1954. I know we talked about it earlier, but like my top three kind of float.
Yes.
Because I don't know, I'm not really judging it by how many times I've seen it, but rather what's memorable. I don't know. There, as we said earlier, I wrote little notes and I ranked them as how I see fit, but they float
and
a few feet around.
And that's the whole point of this. It is a personal opinion. So, you know, what the, so it just in general, why are these your top 10? Or did these define what you feel make a great Godzilla movie?
I do, because there's something in almost every era.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have the original, right? As vanilla as I say, it's my first favorite one. It's also the first time I've ever seen Godzilla. I was ever exposed. And Nakajima-san is a legend and a pioneer in his field. And the story was different. You know, like that stays near the top. Number one now, maybe two or three, because then I would put Godzilla Minus One, which I loved overall. And I think and I've seen it so many times in so many different versions and so many different theater experience styles. So I feel like that one's actually great for people. Let's say this is their jumping point, right? Or like if you normally don't like kaiju films, you'll like this one.
Well, I know how much you love it because I'm going to retell the story real quick. So last year when we went to Japan, you got to see Godzilla Minus One a few days before the rest of us because you saw it at the Tokyo International Film Festival.
Yes, in 2023.
And, yes. So and you got to see it subtitled. I did not.
Oh, you did not. Yes. In your favorite dream next to me.
Yes.
You also had to sit through it.
Now, do you remember what I said to you when we sat down for the movie, before the movie started?
Do you tell me to like make sure you don't miss the good parts? Like,
yes, essentially that. I'm like, if I conk out because I've gotten no sleep, I literally had landed the day before, had no sleep, and was up at the crack of dawn, stood for 8.5 hours at the Godzilla Fest, then went immediately to this thing. So I was out of one bloodshot eye. And knowing I'm going to watch a film in Japanese and I'm not going to get the whole aspect of it.
Right.
Told you. Just please make sure you see me nodding off, give me a little tap. That's fine. I wasn't nodding off when we got to the boat sequence. You literally got up on the seat that you were sitting on and started smacking the crap out of me and pointing at the screen. I'm like, I'm watching. And you were just like, look. And literally that's when Godzilla comes out and gets the other little boat. And I'm just like, oh, snap. Okay. Yes. That told me how much you already were immersed into this film. So I know how much you actually really you truly do love Minus One. It is the definition of a great Godzilla movie.
Yeah, and I liked the human characters.
Yes, and that is a big aspect of that whole thing.
Yeah. And then Mechagodzilla, because it was the first time as a little kid I was like bamboozled because it was. If you remember in Batman the Animated Series, voiced by Kevin Conroy.
I think I know where you're going with this.
It's the part with Hardak.
Yes.
And
great
then
episode.
You realize it's not Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
It is Hardak underneath. That's what I felt when the piece of Godzilla skin fell out and you just saw metal. And my little kid brain was like, oh my God, it's a robot. I did like suspiciously looked at my parents for many days after that. But both scarred me for life, right? Heart Act,
yeah,
and this. It was such a like iconic and it was a core memory for me. The difference mm-hmm. is because I do love Terminator, but the things you knew in Terminator,
yeah, it was Terminator, a robot. That
you knew. But mm-hmm. I didn't know a Mega Godzilla. And a few other ones, obviously, like the first experience I had watching King Ghidorah,
mm-hmm.
right, is very memorable. It's like, it's his main villain, besides people. Mm-hmm. It is his main, it's your Lex Luthor to Superman, Joker to Batman.
Yep.
I love dragons.
Yes, it is the arch nemesis. That is something that I would love you to put together. Maybe we do it for another episode, but comparing. So I've always said Godzilla kind of fits the Batman role, and especially with the rogues gallery yeah. that he has.
Yes.
I would love to, you know, Batman in and out, you know, your comic books. I want the Jessica list of where the various kaijus relate to Batman villains.
Oh, yes.
I just want you to write all these
the
down.
Rogues gallery. The rogues yeah. gallery. Okay.
Yes. Okay. That might be an episode for the future, like just for schnitz and giggles. We'll do like as a capper of like this is I hate be giving you homework assignment, but I am very curious because again, there's very few people who I know more about Batman than you. So, you know, I have always had in my head, but I think you would have a much more defined list of where certain villains land with certain kaiju.
Oh yes. Yes. So I would rank them? Or mm-hmm. I would compare them to a comparable Batman villain.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, like, comparable.
Who would be the comparable villain? If Godzilla's Batman.
Okay.
Who would be, you know, let's just take the top eight, top ten, you know, villains. So, you know, your Joker, your Two-Face, your Penguin, yeah. your Poison Ivy, you know, all those. And where would they relate in the Batman lore? We'll save that for another episode, because I want you to really sit there and think about it because I know you. I know you'll come up with something very clever that even I will be like, oh, damn, I didn't even see that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. That will be fun to do. I was like, and King Kong versus Godzilla. Oh, also, because I did love dragons, you know, when you're little, you see, while you have great imagination, you mm-hmm. are also, you discover things like, oh, I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Dragons having three heads, three necks. I always saw it as, you know, one head, one neck, one body. Also, I remember seeing him and thinking, where are his front legs?
Yes.
I got used to two types, right? The Eastern mm-hmm. is more serpent-like.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the one that like, is it George? It's not St. George, is it? George and the Dragon. George. Yeah, right? And then you see Western is like chubby little, like a Peach Dragon situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But this dude, I was like, where's his front legs? Mm-hmm. But also he had the most amazing gold color to me. And I thought that was just, and he flew mm-hmm. and Godzilla doesn't fly. So I thought that was really interesting. King Kong versus Godzilla was the first time. That was a Superman Batman moment because I never thought of them teaming up, even though technically it would be more of like a Marvel DC situation. But at that
time,
too much for my brain to comprehend as a child, mm-hmm. but it was a World's Finest situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that really meant a lot. All of these were like core memories. They're very different. Shin Godzilla, because the design is different, the powers were different. Mm-hmm. It's different. And despite it all, I kind of liked the everyday humdrum office red tape bureaucrat and the fact that, you know, Peterson was supposed to be a future president.
Yes.
I was like, what is this? It's interesting how they handle it through an office.
It is Shin Godzilla, because it's in my top 10. Shin Godzilla. Considering this is the first Godzilla movie in 10 years from over 10 years, 12 years. Yeah. It is Hideki Anno. It is Shinji Higuchi. But Anno going, I will do a Godzilla movie. But the main core of it will be about the bureaucratic process and how much I hate it. Like, it is.
Yeah. Yes.
It is like, at times it feels like if Ron Swanson wrote a Godzilla movie. Pretty yes. much like the government is just screwing this all up left and right. And then there's Godzilla. Like it's yeah, just he's just a big moving mountain in it. It's he's not really quick. You know, they played with a lot of the lore, the fact that he's super evolving and all this stuff. Like it is a there's certain movies that are just kind of wild in their concepts. I've always said this about Godzilla 2000. I'm like, you guys took a break. They're, you know, you're hoping that the American film, the TriStar film, would take off, and it didn't. So you said, all right, back to basics. So we're going to bring Godzilla back. So first one in like almost 5 years. What do? We're doing a little heartfelt story about a father and his daughter. And we're focusing in on the fact that Godzilla has a Wolverine healing factor. That is the movie. And I even watching it when I was like 15, 16, I'm like, really? This is the story you guys went with? I'm like, okay. I mean, it's an interesting take, but yeah. It felt like one of those things. There's certain movies, and we talked about this earlier, I think, bringing up like movies that were like, because the logic takes you out. I was that way with Us. I love Jordan Peele, but I sat down and watched Us, and there's like when the twist comes, I went, no, because now you're throwing your own rules out the window. This Godzilla movie was kind of, it felt like at times, the point is, it would have been a great episode of his Twilight Zone. Like, if you condense it down to 30 minutes, but you had to stretch it out to 90 minutes. And that's kind of what this Godzilla movie felt like. They're like, we have a cool idea that would probably work as an episode of a TV show, but we're making it into a 90-minute movie. And we got to fill in the gap somewhere. There's about 40 minutes of a movie in here with a lot of other exposition going on. Yeah. And then you get to the big battle at the end with a very bulky snake-looking thing that is also an alien. It is, to me, it's still like a wild, wild, it's not that I hate it. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just like, that, of all the ideas, that's the one you went with. I'm like, I just want to be a fly on the room when they're like, this is what we're going to bring Godzilla back with. Like, okay. Are you sure? Are you sure that's the one you want to go with? But
yeah. I digress. Yeah. Yeah. And Shin Godzilla had all his different like tadpole to frog Pokemon transitions. Yes. And then at the end, there was like little tiny human-like Godzillas, and he was just so grotesque and ugly looking. Like, I could, and he's got the laser mm-hmm. ball energy.
Yes.
You know, very Evangelion. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Not okay with the anime Mecha Godzilla City. That was something.
Also, it is, again, but it's wild.
Like unhinged enough, but not chaos.
Yes. Look, I'm of the idea at this point of being a fan. I'm like, look, you know, embrace the wackiness on some stuff and then try something different. It's why I give those anime movies a pass. You're trying something different, and I will give you credit where credit's due for trying something different. Now, whether or not that works, that it lies on the merits of the product. But that's why I'm not as harsh on those three films, because you can honestly say the same thing about Shin Godzilla, because it goes in a very interesting, wild direction. But Anno at least knows a way. Like, everyone is talking a mile a minute in that movie too. So you're just like, it's like an Aaron Sorkin project. Like, you're just being bombarded with dialogue left and right. But at least it's moving, and you're like, oh, what's happening next? Like, what? I'm invested with what's going on.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it was, you know, and then you'll have something that'll take me out would be like Godzilla dancing, right? Like that. I can't handle that. Him fighting. Oof. But then we have Shin, obviously Mothra versus Godzilla. I know. It's like, I stop at dancing. Apparently I didn't like it when Peter Parker did it. I guess
any idea how happy I was to get this thing too? How joyous I was. I want the Bandai and I want the little band Presto enshrined. It's stupid, but I love it. I have a growing collection of animated Hedorah stuff because I love the weird animated style that they did. So, but continue on.
Oh, no, no worries. Mothra versus Godzilla, because she's beautiful and different and was also our first exposure to mm-hmm. her with, like, the eggs and the twins and, the, you know, everything about Mothra, right? Like,
yeah.
the whole history starts from there. Destroy All Monsters was the Justice League Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Kaijus, and also one of my core memories of I didn't see this coming with all of them together. I really, really, I mean, there was one kaiju in there I absolutely hate. For those who caught it multiple times, you'll know. But and then Godzilla versus Destroya, because Destroya was very different.
Mm-hmm.
I loved. It was like, I'm trying to think. Almost like, I'm trying to think of now, my brain is now drawing a blank. It's like fighting a better, more buffed up version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that something about that unique and awesome, obviously was mm-hmm. higher up. I missed her. She was not only like, oh, sorry, where did I leave off?
Oh, you big and buff, and then you kind of pause for a second.
Oh, no. So I really liked, hold on, Godzilla versus Destroya.
Mm-hmm.
It was like watching, what was the one with Ryan Reynolds where he plays a background character?
Something. You're not talking about Fall Guy, are you?
No, Fall Guy's Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds, he's a background actor?
Yeah, he was a non-playable character. But he ends.
Not Fog. It's
That's yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Oh God! Now we're just gonna look for it. I'm blanking out. I only had one coffee today.
It is. Hold on. Free guy.
They're both.
That's why you mix up with Fall Guy. It's there. Yeah. It's push and pull.
Yeah, and then when he sees like a buffer version of himself at the end,
mm-hmm.
that's so ridiculously huge. It's just Godzilla, Destroya. I don't know, like the parallel, because you know, even the way mm-hmm. they stand, the way they looked, one is bigger. I really liked how beefed up and cool. And you know, that was very different concept to me as a kaiju. Mm-hmm. But also, I missed Godzilla versus Biollante.
Mm-hmm.
She is like one of the few female kaijus. And I think I've also mentioned it, you know, it's like a part of him. And then I love Poison Ivy. She was a, look at him. There's a female Mutos, right?
You've got I'm trying to think. So Mothra.
Biollante.
Megaguirus.
Yeah.
The Mutos and Shima.
She was a beautiful rose. And mm-hmm. then you thought to yourself, I loved Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy mm-hmm. is one of my favorite Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, when she opens up with a freaking crocodile.
Yes. Like still one of the best. Like, that's not even a suit, it's a puppet.
Yeah, it's like a final form situation. And I remember thinking, Pamela Isley would adopt mm-hmm. you. And it just, I like things that are kind of like a different, unique concept kind of spinoff. And I did realize some are actually voted on
mm-hmm.
not really nostalgia, some by how much I like the kaiju,
mm-hmm.
you know, some core memory, but some is just like plain story,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me. So I'm trying not to be biased. You're supposed to judge it objectively, subjective.
It's all your own opinion. You know, I know that people will listen and be like, I'm like, but no, that's the point. It's your own opinion. You know, again, there's movies that I love that I know people absolutely hate. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I defend Van Helsing, and I will defend Van Helsing till the day I die because I love that freaking movie.
I also love that film.
Oh, it's I everyone slept that and Treasure Planet. You all slept on Treasure Planet. That movie was brilliant. And you're all
the Disney animated.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
One of the absolute best Disney movies, and people went like, nah. I'm like, oh, no. You don't deserve greatness because you turned your back on this. Ah.
Yes.
Just makes me angry.
Destroya is like, sorry, I'm just looking up something. I mean, I was thinking, you know, I had a horrible Free Guy was not a great example. I just want to say, I thought about
it. It's a fun movie. I like Free Guy. Like, it is a fun film. It's not asking really much of anybody. It's just like, here's a basic concept. And just let Ryan Reynolds go be Ryan Reynolds and then have a bunch of video game references.
I should have used that with Space Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
That was a more accurate thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like Destroya because it was like, what happens when you... What happens after the Oxygen Destroyer?
He's Godzilla's doomsday.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. It's very much in every aspect. That's literally what it is.
Yeah, that's better. That's a better comparison.
Yes.
Better comparison. Because that's the aftermath of like the consequences and results of your action.
Yes.
And like kind of made it so you guys are not meant to be buddies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, is that all of them?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let me break down mine real quick. So, I 10, I had Invasion of the Astro Monsters, a.k.a. Godzilla vs. Monster Zero. As a kid, of all my little VHS tapes my parents got for me from Warehouse Video. That's how long I'm dating myself. This one was the one I probably watched the most because of all the Showa era films, this is probably, to me, the peak. This, you know, you have... That beautiful march of Ikifube's score. There's a little use of some stock footage from Rodan and a couple other things, but it's just, you got aliens, you got Nick Adams chewing the scenery. It's everything that encompasses what makes a good Godzilla movie. And back then, it was that, you know, that wonderment of what space could bring. Like, it still has a lot of those kind of retro sci-fi look to it, especially the design of the Exians and everything. Just a beautiful movie. That's absolutely what it is to me. And as a little kid, I watched it over and over and over again. My number 9 is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. And I get looked at people all the time. They're like, why? And I'm like, because this movie does what I was just saying. It dares to take some risks. It tries to. It is probably the closest to an actual anime Godzilla movie than we got outside of the anime, even over the actual animes. The whole plot is we're going to build a black hole gun and shoot it at Godzilla and put him into a black hole. Meanwhile, the black hole opens a rift in space and time and brings out the freaking bugs from Rodan, and they turn into giant dragonflies. It is goofy. It is wacky. It is probably the closest to a Showa film that any of the Millennium films got to. I absolutely adore it. Like, I saw it in theaters when it came out to LA, and I was like, this is phenomenal. And then years later, I find out people hate it. I'm like, why? It's absolutely fun. They're like, are you serious? I'm like, you can't give me a good answer. You can't give me a good answer. This is a fun Godzilla movie, damn it. And I'd watch it. Probably of all the Millennium films, it gets thrown on repeat just as much as Final Wars or GMK. Those are my three absolute favorites of the Millennium series, and I love it to death. I love flying monsters. I love, you know, the creativity and the fact that the battles in daylight. Oh, so good. My 10, 9. Number 8 is Shin Godzilla. I already kind of delved into that. So you already got my opinion on that. 7 is Godzilla versus Ghidorah. I've always said this is what would happen if Hunter S. Thompson wrote a Godzilla movie. Again, it stands out from all the other Godzilla movies. Even by the 70s standards, it is still a very weird movie. And I love it for that. This is a weird psychedelic drug-addled like Godzilla looking movie. Like, this is just pumped mushrooms and LSD with an environmental message, and Godzilla's literally fighting a giant puddle of poop. Like it is, it's the poop monster from Dogma. And not only that, but it's brutal. Like this movie is insanely brutal. To the point that they're like, we need some levity here. Let's have a sequence where Godzilla tucks his tail and flies chasing after Hedorah, because we just spent 25 minutes of this fight of Godzilla just getting his ass handed to him on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he literally rips the things. As a kid, I'm like, what are those things? And later on, it was like, they're supposed to be his eyes. I'm like, they should have made that a little more clear, like hold the eyeballs so we can tell its eyes, but like, okay. But it's a beautiful, the mixture of the animation, like,
yeah.
Yoshimitsu Bano just, again, when you're kind of left unchecked and you can kind of do what you want, you can create some magical art. And it does bring joy to me that Hedorah is now considered like one of the top tier characters, in that for years that movie was kind of seen as the black sheep. And now people have come around to really appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
So 10, 9, 8. So number 6 is Godzilla versus Kong, the legendary one. Jessica and I talked about this on the show. I told her and you know, personally, like, I did not think I would live to see this day. I thought this day would never come again. I never thought anybody would ever be Godzilla and Kong just because of the way rights worked. And then comes Thomas Tall with all of his money and said, no, I will make the impossible happen. I got the rights to Kong. I got the rights to Godzilla, and they're going to fight. And yes, I know the movie is kind of Frankenstein down from what it used to be, but it gave me everything that I wanted. Like that first trailer, my brother, if you talk to my brother, he'll tell you, like, he sat there with me watching it. And he's like, are you okay? I got a little teary eyed. I'm like, I need a moment, because this is just scratching that 9-year-old itch in the back of my head. It's just like, it is literally as a kid when I had my dinosaur toys, pretending that the cheap ape figure was Kong and my T-Rex figure was Godzilla, just going at it. That is literally what that movie is, and it delivered everything that I wanted. So of all the legendary movies, it is still technically my favorite, but I do love Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I absolutely love Kong Sky Island. But this movie just, it gave me that thing I'm chasing of my youth as I get older. So
yeah.
So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Oh, I keep losing. I'm sorry. I should have made it.
No, it's okay.
So number 5 is Godzilla Final Wars.
Yes.
I was there for the premiere. I am unabashed Ryuichi Kitamura fan. I understood when I was at the premiere. I watched this film. I knew exactly what he was doing. And I also listened to a bunch of older fans who got into the premiere bitch and moan as they came out, because they thought, you ruined the movie. I'm like, no, you guys did not understand what he was doing. This is a Shonen Jump Godzilla movie. From top to bottom, you have MMA fighters, you have actors, you have everyone. They all literally came out of a Shonen Jump manga. Every dude is just oozing machismo and this testosterone everywhere. The fights are over the top. And it gave me the thing I wanted fighter Godzilla. I wanted a Godzilla that was built like a fighter. And the first time I saw that image of that suit, I'm like, they finally did it. And watching the way that suit moved and the way all the other monsters moved, I'm like, yes, this is all I ever wanted. That final fight sequence between Godzilla and Monster X is hands down top 3 of all time fights. I love it to death. Like, and I'm a big old school MMA guy. I've loved Pride Fighting. I love the olden days of UFC. I love Pancras. And watching that, I just getting flashes to like watching Don Fry and Takayama watch, you know, excuse me. You know, just a bunch of those of these fights, and every anime that I grew up, you know, renting from the video store when I wasn't old enough to rent certain things yet. And it was just brutal and beautiful. I will say the final fight between Godzilla and Kaiser Ghidorah, it's like, I love it on paper, but but the suit's a little wonky. But beyond that, this movie is a joy. And last year when we were at G-Fest, you know, a couple of our friends were like, hey, do you want to go watch Final Wars? I'm like, sure. I haven't watched it in theater since the premiere.
Yeah.
Someone called me beforehand. They're like, don't bother. It's sold out. I'm like, what? It's sold out? They're like, it's sold out. I'm like, that theater seats like 600-700 people. I saw the video from it. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I went, because everybody and their brother that was at that show was there, and seeing these people, these kids, Jessica, they embraced it and they were singing along with like the Sum 41 song. They were quoting everything Don Fry was saying. I'm like, oh man, I'm mad I missed that. So, but it does bring me joy that this is, you know what this is? This is the Star Wars prequels. It divides the fandom, but there's a whole generation that grew up on Ewan McGregor as their Obi-Wan Kenobi, and they love those prequel films. And I do not, I don't like diss them, because that is the one you grew up with. Much like how everyone that loves the original Star Wars, that's the one they grew up with. There are certain things that will get in your head at a certain age, and that is why you will love them to death.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that was number six or five. Okay, so number four is GMK. And to be fair, the first time I watched GMK, I didn't really care for it. I think the problem was, much like my first time I watched Mad Max Fury Road, I had something built up more in my head. And I walked away, I'm like, huh. It's kind of not what I was, the expectations I had in my head. It was another constant reminder of like, don't hype yourself up too much, and then take the thing as it's being given to you. Now, I've gone back and watched Mad Max and have come to really appreciate and love that film. GMK had to grow on me a little bit. And part of the problem, I think, was the guy that made the Gamera movies, Shusuke Kaneko, he's doing Godzilla. I'm like, this is going to be amazing. And then the first time I watched it, I'm like, these are very interesting designs for these suits. And it's a weird mysticism. And like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. I remember finishing up the first time. I'm like, okay. But it was, I went back like a couple months later, watched it again. And then they did a screening again out here back in LA at the Egyptian. And I took some friends, and it was seeing there on the big screen, really like taking it in. I'm like, oh no, this movie's a lot better than I was giving it credit for. And then slowly but surely, it became one of my absolute favorite Godzilla films. Last time I watched it was at G-Fest. I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago at this point. I went and watched it again. I'm like, yeah, this is up there with some of the absolute best. This is for the Millennium series. It's probably, you know, quality wise, the best film. You know, it's back and forth between that and Final Wars for me, but they are two very different films. It is comparing apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. Number three is King Kong versus Godzilla. This was my number two for a long, long time. And much like, you know, my rant and raving of Godzilla versus Kong, this was the Godzilla movie I probably watched the most as a kid. Because as much like Jessica said, this was the first time two different film franchises met. Like, you got Kong, you got Godzilla. They're going to meet, and the movie does not disappoint. It is it's the fact that it's also like a light comedy, but you got like a wrestling match out of Godzilla and Kong at the end. Like, they were literally doing pro wrestling, and it's charming as hell. I love everything. I love big fat Godzilla. Like, he's the Stay Puft Marshmallow, and he's so plump and everything. And then Kong looks janky at times because he's got those weird arm extenders. And then there's a point where they said, this isn't working, so just put the guy in the suit in the regular hands. And then like, oh, now it all works. But you got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. It is a beautiful gem of a movie. And yes, it was in many ways the start of the company crossover. Like, it predates, you know, like Marvel and DC working together. It predates like any of the stuff we see going on today. They would kind of take for the norm. Much like Destroy All Monsters was the first universe collision type film.
Yeah. Yes. So
number two is Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
Last year, around this time, as the Oscars were being handed out and Godzilla Minus One walked away with the Oscar for Best Effects, very well earned. My buddy and I were talking about it, and he's like, how many times have you watched this now? I'm like, hey, how many times have? And then I realized I had gone and seen it about 9 times in the theater. Because everybody, I saw it in Japan.
Okay, yeah.
Came back, saw the opening night, went with our good friend Lenny. Then other people started hearing about it because it was a perfect storm. The writer and actor strike going on, so there was like nothing out there. And this movie that was only supposed to be out for 2 weeks ended up like almost 3 months unopposed and made a ton of money, and it got great word of mouth. And I had family members call me, and they're like, have you seen that new Godzilla movie? I'm like, well, yes, but I actually flew to Japan to go watch it. So yes, they're like, it was really good. Are they all like this? I'm like, no. They are what they are. Like, you're either going to enjoy them or you're not, but I'm glad you really enjoyed this movie. They're like, are they going to make more like that? I'm like, they might. Now we know that they are, but...
Yeah.
But no, Minus One does do that thing of... It gives us the characters we really care about. Like, you do care about the... Like, it does... It makes the proper decision of Godzilla, much like Shin Godzilla does. Like, he's not the main character of the movie. He is the issue that we have to deal with in the movie. So, and Shin and Minus One are very comparable because they do take wild swings and play with the lore. And they do give you, it is a character drama at the end of the day on both of them. One is about bureaucracy. One is about like kind of, you know, like redeeming yourself after something tragic happened. And, you know, can you move on? It's getting over trauma, and it's also, you know, the fact that they did it post-war, like, seeing Godzilla in the 40s, it's a wild concept, but one I greatly appreciate, and it's one of the prettiest-looking Godzilla movies that's out
there. Yes.
So, that's my number two. You know, we'll see, but that it's strongly staying up there. Like, I've watched it probably about a going on 24 times now, and it doesn't get boring. I'd never get like, let me fast forward to this part or that. And like, no, it holds me in. It is watching it with Yamazaki in Hollywood. I turned to my buddy because Yamazaki was up there and he was talking about like how he got to meet Spielberg at one of these Oscar events. And I turned to my buddy and I'm like, you know what? For years, I always thought, what would Spielberg do with a Godzilla movie? And I'm like, I don't have to worry. I don't have to think anymore because Yamazaki did that. Right. He made this most Spielbergian. He made a more Spielbergian film than Spielberg could possibly do today. So that is where I stand with Minus One. And of course, number one is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. I saw this at 10 years old. It blew my mind. And I'm 41 now. This still remains the pinnacle of Godzilla movies for me. One, it is a kitchen sink movie. It has everything. It's got spies. It's got aliens. It's got Planet of the Apes. It's got robots. It's got monster fights. It's got action. It's got a hot jazz soundtrack. It is everything. I love this damn movie. So, like, in terms of Godzilla movies, not just in terms of Godzilla movies, in my top 5 films that I love to death, like, and I love movies, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla is up there with the likes of Brother Earth, that RoboCop, Royal Tenenbaums, Ghostbusters, stuff like that. These are like my Terminator 2. These are some of my absolute all-time favorite films that I can quote. Yeah. And if you gave me a blindfold, I could probably rewrite the script almost verbatim. But this movie has everything. Yeah, it was the 40th anniversary film, but this movie holds up insanely well. Like if my buddy I'm living with right now, his kid loves dinosaurs. And I'm like, you know, the Godzilla movies are on Max. Let's pull one up and see. Let me see if, you know, he's a little kid. Let me see if this translates. And we put on the end of Mechagodzilla, and this kid was entranced because you have a big dog and Godzilla fighting a robot Godzilla and just a hot jazz score just banging out as Mechagodzilla's like got his head turned, blasting laser beams at King Caesar and blowing up Godzilla with missiles. Like, this movie is kinetic. It is beautifully shot. It has that. It is the definition of like a 70s film, which I kind of miss this aesthetic that the 70s films used to do. But to me, this defines what makes a great Godzilla movie. It's fun. It doesn't really, I mean, it plays it straight, but you can tell, like, we're making a Godzilla movie. Like, we're just having a little fun, but everyone plays it straight. And look, I also love Planet of the Apes, so having Planet of the Apes aliens as the bad guys also just adds so much more. There's, like, references to Golgo 13. There's a lot of stuff in there. I love this movie to death. It is what pretty much solidified me as, like, a Godzilla fan. It was, like, the sixth Godzilla movie I ever saw. And to this day, it remains. It's probably the one I've probably seen the most in theaters outside of Minus One.
Right.
I've gone to every screening that was available of this. I'm like, Mechagodzilla, I am there. I am there. Like, it doesn't matter. I will go and happily watch this 90-minute masterpiece for the 100th time. So,
yes.
So there we go. That is our definitive Godzilla list for the 70th anniversary. God willing, if we're doing this 10 more years, we'll come back and look at what else is being hammered out. I mean,
I will say, I will be remiss if I didn't, because I'm looking at my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla versus Destoroyah. I wrote, everything you love dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Godzilla Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the violence and the unforeseen death. Just like the melt, like at the end, because I never really see that with a main character.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a kid being like, literally getting up from the ground, like, is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, now I found out grown men will cry at the end of that film, right? Much like before the Optimus Prime in the original animated film.
Yes.
It makes grown men cry. I wasn't crying as so much I was shocked as mm-hmm. a kid. And I remember looking around. I mean, I'm an only child, so just mm-hmm. my parents. I'm like, is anyone else seeing this? It's like killing a mink. You know, there's the death, the destruction, the moment like, it happens.
Yeah.
The ending, you know, it was like that moment with, it's almost painful. I think never ending story where he's pulling the horse.
Oh, yes. Poor Treyu.
It's just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
At the end to see what it happens and how he bonds with Godzilla and then the melting. It's just, it was violent and it made people cry. It made me shocked. It was everything you kind of didn't think would happen at the end of an end.
What did you think of them Wally Westing Godzilla Jr.? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I remember thinking to myself, that's a new concept that mm-hmm. I didn't really see coming. I wonder what the following film will be about. Right? Because by then I was mm-hmm. old enough as a kid to understand that there are, what was I going to say? Multiple Godzilla films,
mm-hmm.
sequels, but I wasn't so sure. I didn't know too much about, or the ideas of like continuity or reboots,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all that. You can see I'm at my friend's house. He's in the back walking.
That's not a ghost.
Please, friends. That's not a ghost. That is Sam, who has been also in our pictures. I realize I need to address that. I could have shifted a bit, but he was also wearing white. It's not a ghost.
No.
And I think Sam's been in some of our pictures. He was with us in Japan for a few times.
Yes, he was. Lamenting the fact that you and I wanted to go to a Capybara Cafe. And he's like, you two? Really? This?
I'm
like,
I know. You didn't see that coming.
No.
But the ending kind of made me, I knew about time travel and all that stuff, but I didn't really, mm-hmm. Alternate timeline. So I didn't know, seeing that ending,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going to be in the sequel. In the upcoming films. Now, there are like soft reboots, alternate timelines, all that. I didn't know about that at that time as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess to me, everything was continuity, right? Yeah. So I looked forward because I didn't really see that coming at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But watching the devastation at the end and the heartfelt moments, it was like it was a never-ending story situation. Or an Optimus Prime in the Transformers movie.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we should end it there because we were supposed to just add 20 minutes and we're at 46 minutes. So
that's all right.
This is a long episode once it's put together. So on that note, Jessica, where can the good people find more of us?
Yes, you can find us wherever podcasts are found. It's the Kaiju mm-hmm. Kingdom podcast where you can download it and listen to them in whichever platform works best for you. Mm-hmm. And I think Chris will be able to link all those down below. We are very active, thanks to Chris, on our Facebook, mm-hmm. where we are, you know, updated as news about new outcome, because we can't cover everything in every single podcast. So there are always new announcements coming out there, along with also we are found on Instagram. You can go ahead and also follow us on Instagram, in which some, you know, if you, some people are off Facebook, you yeah. can be on Instagram and follow us there.
Mm-hmm. So, and then yes, if you're watching this channel, if you're not, if you're now that you're mm-hmm. seeing us, you know,
yes.
the channel is up and running. Just a little heads up to what's coming this week. I found these freaking mm-hmm. real feel Godzillas out there from Playmates. I have about 24 reviews I'm sitting on. So in between this, we have the coffers. We do that. And then I have a ton of footage from Japan that I need to sit down and edit because, like I said, I was there for a month. I shot a lot of stuff. There's a lot that is sitting on it's all sitting on this wonderful terabyte hard drive right here.
Yay!
That you'll be able to see all of the events I went to Godzilla Day. There's so much I haven't edited together. So stay tuned for that. Just like I said, had to get to Texas first, get settled in, and I can finally get to work on all these wonderful things. So yes, all the fun stuff for the YouTube channel, like Jessica yes. said, Facebook, Instagram, X, we're all on all those places. And the next episode, because we have both, you got something coming up. So I'm still sitting on the Comic-Con episode from last year, our panel, not your panel, our panel. That will be the next episode that you will hear. And hopefully we'll be back late April with another episode, because there's a lot of breaking news. There's a lot of stuff going on
yeah.
that hopefully by the time you're back in town, there's be a lot of stuff to talk about. So. On that note, that will wrap up this edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast for myself and
Jessica.
Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.